welcome everybody to Butterflies and Bravery. Jemima and myself are your hosts, BFFs that were born into the Children of God cult, a notorious fucked up cult. And this podcast is us trying to make sense of our life today and having fun while doing it and having trauma while doing it. So we both had a pretty big, we've had a long weeks, both of us, right?
Yep.
And Jemima, you are counting down the days. You have what, 4 or 5 more days until your surgery?
Four.
Whew. I just finished yesterday a huge fundraiser that I did for my nonprofit, and just me and my boss and just us two running this huge fundraiser.
That's cool.
We were trying to get 25,000. We were shooting for 25,000. We hit 23,000. So I felt, I felt a little sad, but that's two people. That's just me and her.
That's a lot. That's great. There's nothing to be sad about that.
But yeah, it is really good news because my organization, we've been through some hiccups these last few months because we had this other organization came in, big organization. And they strung us along for months and months. When you stop trying to build up your base or work with your donors or all the things that you need to be doing when you're a nonprofit, and then at the last minute, they're like, just kidding. Never mind. We've been scrambling. This fundraiser was a big deal. But tomorrow, my oldest son is coming into town, and I haven't seen him for, months and months. So I'm super excited about that. And I almost haven't had time to think of very much at all. But what is coming up, Jemima and I have both been running each week discussion groups. One we moderate for the Lawlich Center for kids born in cults, and the other moderate one that's specifically for kids born in Children of God. Both have been amazing, incredible.
Yes.
Nothing to do with us. Just that the people that are showing up are incredible. And the conversations that we're having are amazing. And just, I think a lot of people get scared to talk about things like this because it's big and it is scary. It is big and it's scary. And I think there's that fear of, I'm going to trigger something. I'm going to shake the tree. Things are going to fall out and then I'm going to have to face them. But there's just so much strength and healing in being able to do this processing together and not have to translate ourselves, shoot the shit, or talk about serious stuff and also not have to censor ourselves. So it's been very healing. Again, we are not mental health professionals. We're just friends that are inviting other friends to sit around with us and chat. So that's been amazing. That's been really great. Next week, I just found out today, we finally have the date for our for the release of the podcast that we did with Cult Vault, the interview that we did. We've been teasing this and promising it for a little while. And I finally got the news today. It's going to be dropping next Friday. So the 31st of March. April Fools!
That's funny.
Our podcast interview with Cult Vault will be out, and that's super exciting. Anyone that wants to listen to it, look it up. If you missed it or can't find it for any reason, we will make it available on our platform. We'll repost it ourselves, and you won't have to worry about missing that at all. I'm sure you're wondering why I gathered you. Today we are looking back. That's it. So for anyone who has been hanging around for the last few weeks listening to our podcast, a few weeks ago we read one of our cult publications that was required reading. Actually, all publications that they put out was required reading.
Yep.
But the one that we read a few weeks ago was what they used to call a bar pub, which stood for burn after reading, which meant it was that disgusting that you were supposed to burn it after you read it. And of course, somebody kept a copy and or a few. And so we read that a few weeks ago and it was a tough reading. And we haven't gone back to that space. But we did talk about going back to that space because we have the next I guess, what, the companion? Liberty or Stumbling Block. That was the one where they were like, let's stop raping our children, and then pretend it didn't happen. That was that. Okay. That was that publication. Gotcha. And 3 years later, from 86 to 89, they came out with a publication that was not burn after reading. They're actually like fucking proud of this one. And it was called Flirty Little Teens Beware. And I had forgotten that disgusting image. Do you see that the drawing there? The cover? Fucking disgusting. I'll put it up on our website. It's an image of some older adult man. He's got a goddamn fucking mustache, because of course he does.
Porn stash.
Porn stash. And
come catcher.
And so he's like all looking at some young teen girl who's smiling at him.
And doing the laundry.
She's doing the laundry, and he's all drooling after her. The really fucked up thing about that is the artist who drew that is someone who was a major pedophile himself. So,
insert vomit. Yeah. And this was Please Read Unitedly, so that means we had to read it all together.
You have to stand there and fucking look at each other. I remember this. I was mortified. Like, are you kidding me? Oh, I do remember this.
That's the setting.
It's crazy. We knew nothing. We did not know that there was another life besides this, but I just remember how wrong this felt. I was like, how is this possible? How this makes no sense. How is this possible? So if you're sticking around with us for this reading, please know that this is another one of those. It's not an easy reading, but it was a very major part of our lives, a major part of our upbringing, and definitely a window into the attitudes and the belief structure of the way that they saw sex with children, sex with minors was. So the title is Flirty Little Teens Beware, and the Bible verse that they put next to it is 2 Timothy 2:22, which says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Which, okay. Please read Unitedly, Dalton Teens. Ross Campbell is the author of one of the books which we've summarized in our new childcare book, Raise 'em Right. He's a Christian author, and one of the things he emphasizes is how much preteen and early teen girls need a daddy. Or a father figure to help them through their crucial years. He says, with a girl, physical contact, especially the more affectionate type, increases in importance as she becomes older and reaches a zenith at around the age of 11. Oh my God. I'm so sure I can do this. 11 is an ultra critical age when a girl has an almost desperate need for a father or father figure to help her in her preparation for adolescence. He does this by helping her to approve of herself, by showing her that he himself approves of her, by unconditional love, eye contact, and physical contact, as well as focused attention. What's with the fucking eye contact? What? Okay. While recognizing the importance of giving our... So that was those were the quotes from this Roth Campbell person. We're going back to Zerbe's words. While recognizing the importance of giving our children affection, at the same time, we must realize this is definitely not synonymous with sex. They don't have to have sex. They don't really need sex. In fact, having sex with them should be the farthest thing from you adult men's minds. Young teens like that need a father, not sex. And if you can't stop at normal fatherly affection, you'd better let someone else who can display the affection. But some teen girls play on the sexual angle to try to get the men's attention. That's all that a lot of them want, attention. But it can be easily misinterpreted by the men as meaning something else. So you men just need to take a definite stand in your own hearts and minds that you're not going to be swayed by anything that some young teen girl may do to interest or even entice you. Of course, the very serious threat of excommunication should certainly make it easier for you to avoid any involvement like that with a minor. Just like a priest is supposed to remain celibate in order to remain a priest, so you adult men had better abstain from getting involved with our underage girls. And likewise, you adult women had better not get involved with underage boys. It may be a real fight for some of you, but you can't afford to give in to the lusts of the flesh.
Wow.
Fucking hell. It's like, why would you need to tell someone not to murder? Please, we're asking you to please not murder other people. That's literally what this comes across as. We're back to Zerby's words. There's nothing wrong with fighting against giving in to sexual desires if in some particular situation they're wrong. Let's face it, sex is not something that's always good, clear across the board. Just because we promote sex and we believe God made it and that it's his wonderful creation doesn't mean that it's always good under every circumstance. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient or edifying. That's the 1 Corinthians 10:13-23. There are times when sex is not good, and you men just have to realize and be fully persuaded in your own minds that one time when it's definitely not good is when it involves a minor. We've already made that pretty clear by telling you you'll be excommunicated if you indulge in it. So you men just need to take that stand in your own hearts and minds and say, no matter what kind of heavy pressure or allurement I may get from some of these cute little teen girls, I'm not going to give into it. I know that it can be a difficult distinction to make sometimes between what's normal fatherly affection and what's bordering on the lusts of the flesh. Yeah, it's definitely, that's definitely a hard thing to tell.
So hard.
So hard. Like, I can't, is this fatherly affection or I'm like, wow, fuck her, which is it? Sorry. You men are going to have to draw the line and avoid anything that could lead to sexual involvement, just like priests are supposed to, just like anybody who knows that their job and their whole life is at stake, so they refuse to yield to such temptations. We're not supposed to be so weak that we yield to everything just because somebody comes along and pressures or tempts us one way or another. The children. It's the children that they're referencing. 11-year-olds. That are pressuring them and tempting them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell. If you know something's wrong, you can resist it no matter what it is. The Lord can always give you the grace and power if you'll just turn to him for help. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Why do you think he says flee youthful lusts? That means turn around and go the opposite direction. Don't toy with it or play around with it. So you men have to do your part by not giving in to that kind of pressure. You should realize that the girls probably don't even know what it will lead to and the serious problems that such relationships can create. In most cases, our teen girls have been fairly innocent. They've probably seen their mothers and their aunts and uncles and everyone show lots of love and affection to others. And so they've just figured, this is what we're supposed to do. And maybe they've also found out that they can get a little extra favor and attention that way. So, of course, they'll do anything they can to get attention and win favor and get extra privileges, etc. Just like teen girls do in system school with their male teachers, as it's profitable for them to be the teacher's pet. But you men are going to be held much more responsible because you are supposed to be responsible adults. You're the ones who are going to suffer for it and be disciplined and even excommunicated for such involvement. You're the ones who are going to pay the most. Therefore, you're going to have to be convinced that it's absolutely not worth it to get involved with these teen girls. The rules and penalties we've established should certainly help you.
Warning to teen girls. Here comes the special cringe barf part, right? No.
As if that wasn't always cringe enough. But
yeah. Right. On the other hand, I think we really owe it to the men.
Sorry.
That we also make things very clear to you teen girls. Look, whatever you may think such flirty behavior may get you, special favors or attention or privileges or even a daddy or whatever, you are toying with someone that's really dangerous. You are playing with fire. And not only are you up to get burned, but you could very well get this man into a lot of very serious trouble.
How dare you?
Danger or even completely destroy his fruitfulness for the Lord and even his place in the family. It's that serious. And he is under strict orders not to get involved with you. So when you're trying to get him involved, and you're trying to make eyes at him and tease him and play up to him and rub against him and kiss him and everything else, whatever your motivation may be, he's the one who's going to really suffer for it. You're really getting him into deep trouble, and you could get him excommunicated as a result. And if you do that, God's going to hold you responsible too. If you do that, look what you're doing to this poor man. How would you like to be cast out of the family and have nowhere to go, not get the lit anymore, not have any more loving family fellowship? He could easily be excommunicated if he gives in to you. I think in some cases, the teen girls provoke it even more than the men. Family. So this is, in other words, someone else is piping up in the room. Our teen girls definitely need to hear this message because some of them really do initiate it. The little preteen girls usually don't know what they're provoking. They're more uninformed and inexperienced, but most of the teens are very much aware of what they're doing, although they don't really fully understand the consequences. So do they or don't they? Isn't it both?
Yeah.
They don't know what they're provoking.
They don't they do know what they're doing.
But they're aware, very much aware of what they're doing. Preteen. So we're talking about like 10,
yep.
11, 12.
Yep.
Yes. Back to Maria speaking. Yes. After hearing all about our former FFing and everything, they probably want to try to do the same thing.
FFing stood for flirty fishing, which was essentially prostitution for the, they claimed was for the sake of religion.
Yep.
So they're like, she's basically saying here that the young middle school girls wanted to do that because they saw that happening and they definitely wanted to do the same thing. That's essentially what she's saying.
Big victim blaming going on there.
God, fuck.
All right, back to the vomit. Our people are already FF'd and they're already in the family. So our young girls certainly don't need to try to FF them. The fuck? Does that even have anything to do with it?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Nothing. No sense. And it's very dangerous for them to do so. It's just more like trying to victim blame. That's just that. Yeah. Anyways, So, girls, if you have any fear of the Lord at all, if you love the Lord at all, if you love your family at all, certainly seems that you would want to forego any lustful or selfish desires like that for the sake of the adult men who run a very serious risk.
The adult men.
Not for you, not to protect your virginity or to keep yourself from having to service people as a middle school girl. Go with the fuck. Nope.
For the sake of the adult men.
Yeah, it's their fault. Yeah. Protect them. Just who cares about the kids, right? Who run a very serious risk of getting completely excommunicated if they give in to you. This is a very important point and something you need to understand clearly.
Obviously, I'm giving my two cents here, but we grew up desperate for love and desperate for affection. We grew up tossed aside over and over again. I've never met any ex children of God children that didn't have that experience of not really feeling or knowing that they were loved and wanting that and seeking and wishing for it. But I also have never once met anyone, male or female, or anything in between that anyone in between, like, that has been like, oh yeah, I want that affection so much that I'm going to go and rub up against it. Like, never.
No.
All right. Men, restrain yourselves and ask for help when needed. If any of you men have a definite weakness along these lines, a definite problem with such temptations, you should just confess it to your shepherds and say, look, I can't handle being tempted with this. I can't even be around such a temptation. I just want you to know I might step out of line if tempted like that. So please help me avoid it. Family, which is another person piping in. One brother we recently heard about is an example of someone who needs help like this. He's really a good and helpful brother, but some situations tempted him almost above that which he's able to bear, such as swimming with a pool full of teen girls. He could hardly control himself. Zerby continues, yes, it's definitely a very real temptation for some of our men. Family, especially when they swim with some of these sexy bikini-clad teen girls, it's almost too much. Zerby, yes, particularly if he has a wife who never wants to have sex, or maybe she just had a baby. So it's either the teen girl's fault or it's the wife's fault for how dare she have a baby.
Yeah, yes, it's some woman's fault that he is lusting after middle school girls. It's a woman's fault. Okay.
Family, or he might be separated and single and lonely. That's why this particular fellow had such a problem along these lines. He confessed, I'm just very lonely. That'll fly in court. After all, what normal man, this is Zerby again, by the way. After all, what normal man would not be attracted to sweet, pretty, blossoming young women? And even more so if the teen provokes it or aggressively leads him on. My skin is crawling. So this is a very needed and important message to both you teens and adults that you need to try to restrain yourselves. Not just try, but you definitely need to restrain yourselves. And you adults who have had such a great problem with it that you don't think you can refrain will just have to ask for help so that you don't find yourself in the kind of situation that tempts you above what you're able to bear. I feel sorry for you, but you're just going to have to learn to bring your body into subjection. It's possible. The Lord says you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Jesus said all things are possible. And when you're weak, then you're strong, for his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So it can be done, and you're just going to have to do it.
I love how she has all this sympathy for the men.
Disgusting.
Nothing.
No.
And here's more of the, okay, here we go again. Teens, you're accountable. Don't even start it. I know that sometimes the men sort of invite it, but I would say that some of you little hot patootie teens are often the main culprits. While in some ways you may not be as responsible or accountable as the adults, in other ways you are also very guilty. If you tempt some adult when you shouldn't, and that adult winds up getting excommunicated because of it, certainly the Lord will hold you responsible too. So we want to jerk you up. What the fuck does that mean? Oh, okay. Yank you out of your seat. I got it.
Yeah.
That's what that means. So we want to jerk you up and tell you plainly that you are not just little innocent bystanders, but the Lord is going to hold you accountable. While you may not have to pay the greatest penalty and punishment and have to actually be put out of the family, the Lord is still going to hold you responsible, especially if you know what you're doing. That's because you're a fucking child, like 10, so that's why they can't kick you out.
But you know what you're doing, fucking 11-year-old.
Right? Yeah. And we're telling you now what the results of such actions will be, so you will know what not to do. So God is definitely going to hold you responsible. Not the men.
No.
Who are adults with fully formed brains. No. What the fuck? Like, where's the logic there? If you didn't fully realize it before, you should certainly realize it after hearing this. You're not just little innocent things who are going to get off the hook scot-free, at least not with the Lord. The Lord will definitely not bless it.
But we were. We should have been. We were innocent.
Yeah. Exactly. It's ridiculous to try and hold a child accountable for that. Like, where does that thought?
The level of fucked upness that this is, that's where her brain is. It's at. This is a woman who's a mother. Well, supposedly, she's not really a mother, but.
Here comes more vomiting parts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is the very thing the system would like to use against us. Sex with minors, which they always term, quote unquote, child abuse. Although in our loving family, there would be very little possibility of genuine abuse. And if there has been any, hopefully we've gotten rid of that now completely. Teens don't know the horrors of genuine sex abuse that are committed in the world. However, besides the fact that it's illegal, we must keep the system's rules, as pointed out in this letter. There are also other good reasons for abstaining from such actions. This is literally at the time. It's 1989.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in Thailand.
Yep.
Living in the hostel hospital. Being forced to stand naked while boys open the doors.
Yep.
This is while we were eating chicken feed. This is while we were eating fish and rice for months on end. This is while we were in solitary confinement. This is while we were on silence restriction. But none of that's abuse. Oh, this is also while we were getting spanked in front of 150 people on our naked ass with a cricket bat.
Yeah.
Because we laughed at something or made a stupid joke.
Yep.
God. Yeah. It's true that one of the biggest and most obvious reasons we've had to crack down and make such strict rules and harsh punishments against any such involvement is because it is so absolutely illegal with the system. That's the biggest reason. Not because the fucking kids were getting hurt. The family can get in a lot of very serious trouble with kids being taken away and parents being put in jail and the family ripped apart in the media by evil propaganda because of it. The results can be quite devastating. However, another reason we forbid it is because if some cute little teen teases and flirts and is able to steal the man's heart away, she is also guilty. She is also guilty of taking his mind off the Lord's work, off his job, off his wife, and away from his children. That's the way it is. That's what has happened in some cases. She then practically starts running the home and becomes like a babe put into a position of great responsibility, a novice lifted up in pride, 1 Timothy 3:6. Although she's immature and incapable of such responsibility, she's virtually running things through this man who hardly even knows what he's doing anymore because he's so wrapped up in her.
Who isn't following the 13-year-old around? Doesn't even know what he's doing anymore.
Like making decisions because of their obsession with the preteen girl? Like, yeah, okay, that makes perfect sense. Fuck. Goddamn. Mm. So such relationships certainly do not bear good fruit and never have, so it's wrong. That's why she should not even begin any supposedly quote-unquote innocent flirtation. That's what it can lead to. Once you get a man into a kind of a situation, he's practically going out of his mind. That's why they say, I'm crazy over you. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he can hardly do anything but put all of his mind and affection and thoughts and energies into you. Now, some of you teens may think, wow, that's a lot of influence and power. And that deal might appeal to you, but if it does, you can be sure it's from the wrong source. And you better not yield to it, for if you do, the Lord's really going to sock it to you. Even if your shepherds don't. Because maybe the man that you've been so flirty with is your shepherd. Who knows? That's why it's good to have over-shepherds who are diligent to keep their eye on the flocks and their under-shepherds. And even if you don't get it here, you're going to get it there. You're going to really get it from the Lord and be held very responsible for a big, bad, deliberate disobedience. Especially if you willfully go against what we're telling you right now. If you didn't know it before, this makes it clear why you shouldn't carry on like that. I'm not just talking about having sex either. It's all these flippant, vain, silly, and flirty little things that the teen girls can do that lead into the big problems. Even if you men don't have sex with someone, you can still fall head over heels in love with them and go completely out of your mind over them. What man falls in love with a 13? What? In my opinion, no man.
No.
Would ever do such a thing.
Not a healthy.
Exactly.
Not a healthy man.
Fucking hey, bro. So even if you just give in to the preliminaries of it, spending hours together and reading together and holding hands, arms around each other, a little furtive kiss here and there, whatever, it's too much. So bottom line is, like, lots of men were having these kind of relationships with teen girls. Otherwise, why would they feel the need to address it to the entire cult?
And remember, at this point, we had not heard that original, the one that we read before, which was the, oh, we know you were, the kids have all been abused, but you need to stop abusing them. Like, we had not heard, this is the first time we've ever heard, like, any sort of, oh, yeah, we know this is happening, but it's your fault.
Because that was adults only, the birth.
Yeah, that was adults. Like this, I remember how out of the blue this was. I was like, what?
Yeah. Bunch of fucking bullshit, bro. So, oh my goodness, Lord. I know that there's sometimes.
Did you read that? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
A very fine line between normal fatherly affection that all our men should feel toward all our children and the other. Is there, though?
No.
I feel like it's more like a bit of a chasm.
It is definitely a chasm.
How do you go from chasm to fine line?
Yeah.
That's some serious. Oh, that's right. She was blind. That makes sense. She says, is that a chasm or a line? It's a line. Oh, God. Okay. But I think any of that kind of flirty behavior can often turn into a lot more than mere fatherly affection. Family. Somebody else piping up. In other words, besides, Dad is encouraging the teens to get together with other teens now. I read into that in the past it wasn't that way. It's time for them to find their own mates and to seriously seek the Lord about their future. And then Maria says, yes, that's right. Maybe you teens weren't guilty before because you never really had it spelled out for you. But now you're getting it spelled out for you in this letter. First of all, it's illegal. If you're underage teens getting involved with an adult, you can get yourself taken away and put in a foster home.
Yes, please. Please. Right. Yes, please.
I think anything would be better than this.
Dude.
Oh, and the adult could get put in jail. Yay. And the whole local family could get in serious trouble. Yay. Do you want to be guilty of that?
I know, obviously, we're here as had grown older, but I remember we were like 15 and 16 when this came out ourselves. And just, I remember feeling the weight of how much they were blaming us for this.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Do you want to be guilty of that?
Right. Yeah. Secondly, do you want to be guilty of having a precious Christian man excommunicated? If he was a precious Christian man, would he be lusting after a teen or preteen girl?
I can't believe that says precious Christian man.
Precious Christian man. Excommunicated, destroying his life, his work, and his ministry for the Lord, destroying his family, leaving his little kids without a daddy. Not to mention hurting his wife, and if he's a leader, disillusioning and hurting his followers. All of that can happen just because you give into a little game of flirting and playing and teasing and rubbing. Do you want to be guilty of that? And of course, the Lord is going to hold you plenty guilty as well.
I'm feeling stabby right now, like stabby.
I just feel like a normal teen wouldn't have those desire, like a 10 to 13 year old girl is not flirting, playing, teasing, and rubbing on adults unless they've been exposed to that in the past. Am I wrong?
Not at all. Okay. This is going to speak into our personal story. There was our teen shepherd, quote unquote, when we were in Thailand, who was very charismatic. I suppose on some level, he was sexy. If I look back on it as an adult.
Yeah.
And obviously he was the head of our whole, like, and how badly did we want to get on his side? How badly did we want to get in his good graces? How desperately we wanted his approval? Not fucking once did I ever think I'm going to try and seduce him. Not even fucking once.
No.
Not even once.
No, and he used to like undress in front of us and shit. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because his room was this tiny little closet.
Yep.
Off of our room. So he would just get naked every night and walk around naked to the bathroom, walk through naked at night, go back. Yeah.
But it was, but it never even, never was like, ooh.
Like, no, never, even, never was like, hey, look at my dinghy.
No, he obviously he was not, he was from a European country. So they have their little bit more mature about nakedness than Americans are. But still, he was never forward with any of us that I ever saw.
No.
But even still, when you think about the opportunities that we had, like with him, especially like in the way back in the early beginnings when he was like in that hallway.
Yeah.
Between the rooms. And literally we could just walk in his room, like walk in there whenever we wanted. We talk about opportunity if we really wanted to have that opportunity. But it never even crossed my mind. And he was definitely the closest thing that I ever personally experienced as a father figure.
Thank you.
In the cult, I loved him in a very fatherly sort of way, admired him. And to the extent of my experience and to the extent of my knowledge, he was the first male adult that I'd ever met in my whole life who wasn't trying to fuck me.
Right.
And never once for a moment did I ever think, oh yeah, let me. And you and I, we were like, back at the time we loved him so much. Like, I remember us talking about, but it was never in a weird way. It was like, I wish that this would have been what my dad was. That was the closest that ever came. But yeah, no, it's not the adult men who are thinking this. Nope, it's the teen girls.
Yeah, little teen girls, damn them. Oh. Destroying his life. But, okay. So it seems to me that some of you sexy teen girls should walk a little more circumspectly and soberly. There's no reason why you have to act that way with any adult men. And if you do, you risk getting yourselves and the men and the Lord's work in serious trouble. It's just not worth it. If you really love the Lord and you really want to serve Jesus, you're not going to do it. Family speaks up. If they want and need romance or affection like that, they should get their eyes on teen boys their own age who are desperate for emotional stability and love and affection. Back to Maria. Yes, even if the teen boys your own age aren't as mature as you are, maybe the Lord wants to use you to help them to grow and to become more mature and to teach them what they need to know, even if you girls have to be like a mother to them in some ways.
Oh, my God.
What? Ew. There's usually a little bit of sacrifice involved in real love and a little bit of unselfish giving. You've been given to all your lives. You should be willing to return it now and give it to others. Really? What the fuck were we giving? Because I ain't got shit. No. You need to know that there are some definite rules and restrictions in spite of the fact that we have a lot of freedom. We don't have freedom to destroy other people's freedom. I can see how you girls could easily get into that if you have a few susceptible men around. Family. Yes, if it was to their advantage, almost any female would go for it. Really? If it wouldn't give you a demerit or get you in trouble later, if it works to their advantage, they just tend to use it.
Oh my God.
Ad nauseum.
Dude, but see, even like what they were, I remember this so clearly because they were like they should, if you need romance and affection, like they should just get their eyes on the teen boys. But do you remember at the time we were not allowed? We were like not allowed to
nuns
have
any, and priests.
Yeah, nuns and priests at the time. They had, for whatever reason, that was their experiment with our particular in our school was the complete, yeah, like the nuns and priests. So even with those restrictions of us never being allowed to have anything with another guy, if we were looking for romance or affection, we still never crossed my mind or our minds to go towards an adult man. All right. Adults, don't tolerate it. This should help our adults too, to see how serious it is and to make them realize they shouldn't let the teens promote it. In other words, if you adults see some teen girl acting flirty with the adult men, you should sit him down and say, hey, honey, that's against the rules. Let's read this letter.
Wow.
or the man himself should say, read this and see how serious this is. Do you want to get me in trouble? You just have to stand up for what's right. You have to weigh the consequences and take a stand sometimes. If you see an adult and an underage teen flirting with each other, just stop them and say, that's improper behavior and that's not good. It's not godly. It's not obedient and we can't let it go on. Stop it. Family. Just as many of our teen boys in the family got into being cool and worldly, this is... oh my God. This is like the girls' version of worldliness. It's not exactly being quote unquote cool, but it's the wrong spirit. And Zerby says, this letter should help everyone just realize how wrong it is. And not only wrong, but downright dangerous for the Lord's work. So for God's sake, let's not have any more of that kind of behavior. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless and keep you seeking first what's best for his kingdom. I love you. After your home unitedly reads this letter, any adults or teens, male or female, who have specific weaknesses, temptations, or trials along these lines should ask for united prayer. While you're all together and united in spirit with this counsel fresh in your minds, it's the ideal time to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. If any of you teens are involved in or even tempted with any kind of unedifying romantic or sexual quote unquote love relationship with an adult, or if any of you adults have or are tempted with any such relationship with a teen, for God's sake, for the family's sake, for your own sake, ask for prayer and overcome it now. Amen. God bless you. We love you. I'm so stabby right now. I'm so stabby.
Just before giving our final approval on this flirty little teens beware letter, the Lord helped me to realize that we still needed to add something more to it. It dawned on me that many of our teens will probably find themselves strongly attracted to and having what is known as a quote-unquote crush on an adult at one time or another. Even the system acknowledges this as a very common, normal, and natural occurrence, and nothing to get overly concerned or worried about. It happens to teens all the time. So I want to make a distinction, a clarification here. It's normal and natural for teen girls to develop strong feelings toward men, teachers, or shepherds whom they look up to and whom they very much admire, respect, and see as good role models and good examples. In fact, in these older men, they're often looking for a sample of what a godly man should be like, the kind they will want as a husband one day. There's really nothing wrong with that kind of admiration and love, if that's all it is. If it's admiration, if it's love, if it's feelings that are kept in the proper place, which is usually in their hearts and minds, then there's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason why they have to express those feelings openly or flaunt them in the form of physical advances or flirty behavior or anything along those lines. Perfectly normal for young people to have crushes on their teachers, the girls on the men teachers, the boys on the women teachers. Even the system accepts and tolerates quote-unquote crushes as a fact of life for adolescents and teens. But the problem comes in if you let those feelings get out of hand and do something that would be hurtful to the person or to the Lord's work. For example, doing something that distracts someone from their work or causes them to do things they shouldn't, or takes their minds and energy and love off of those that they should have them on. That sort of behavior is definitely hurtful. You just have to bring your body and your mind into subjection. And whatever you do, all to the glory of God and nothing to the hurt of others. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about bringing our bodies into subjection, 1 Corinthians 9:27. If we didn't have such feelings or thoughts, we couldn't have to bring them into subjection. In other words, there are some things that are all right in our minds and hearts, but when we start physically expressing them, that's when it's wrong. pretty sure that's not how it goes. That verse about Mary illustrates the fact that we can keep things in our minds and hearts without expressing them. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Really? Wow. That's totally like just like taking, wow. Okay. Far left field. Luke 2:19. That's like talking about when the angel came and fucked her, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
She didn't tell her husband.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Angel, quote unquote.
The point I'm making is that it's all right to picture some things in our minds that we shouldn't express. Really? And although some things really aren't wrong in themselves. Sure, that's
called child pornography.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called. And although they aren't wrong in themselves, they're unwise, not expedient or helpful, and could actually become harmful. So in other words, it's not wrong.
No, that's the message we constantly got over and over again. This isn't wrong. We just don't want to get in trouble.
Yep. Could actually become harmful, distracting, or even destructive to ourselves and others if we start manifesting or fulfilling them outwardly or openly. Of course, it usually takes some willpower to refrain from expressing such feelings. Whenever we feel strongly about someone, it takes a lot of willpower to keep those feelings where they belong. Right?
Yep.
Like, people just can't keep their dicks in their pants.
No, definitely not.
The Lord is able to help you keep things in the proper place. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to have that kind of feeling. But it is wrong for our teen girls and teen boys and even a lot of our adults to manifest those feelings when doing so would not bear good fruit. See an example of this in FSM, blah, 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 some bark garbage. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a crush on your teacher. It's going to happen and it's just normal. And I can't see anything wrong about it, but it is wrong to openly flaunt that kind of feeling and openly try to distract the person from their responsibilities, not to mention the very serious implications of our adults being accused of child abuse.
Love is not wrong if we keep it in the proper place. Feelings are not wrong either, but they shouldn't always be expressed. Of course, I'm talking about not expressing such feelings to the one you're attracted to, but it's good to keep in close communication with your shepherds and let them know what you're going through. In other words, we don't always have to fulfill the lusts or desires of the flesh. Even some of the good feelings and desires we should, even some of the good feelings and desires we have should not always be fulfilled in any major behavior or activity. It's often enough just to have those feelings of respect, admiration, and love. It's a matter of all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or helpful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. In other words, the love that you feel is not wrong. And perhaps the activities that would express that love are not wrong in themselves. But they would definitely be wrong under certain circumstances, especially if it's going to bear bad fruit in people's lives, endanger the Lord's work, or set a poor example for others. Nothing about if it might hurt the child.
No, nothing.
So you just need to watch out how you express the love you feel. And if it's between minors and adults, it would just be better not to express it at all, at least not sexually. But I don't want all you girls or boys to feel condemned if you are attracted to an adult whom you admire or even have a crush on. You can always pray for the one you feel attracted to, asking the Lord to bless, strengthen, and prosper them in their service for him and others. I know I had crushes on a lot of different older men when I was a teen. Of course, they did occupy a good deal of my time and caused me to waste quite a bit of time daydreaming. But other than that, I think it was good for me in some ways. At least those crushes focused my thoughts on good samples and good godly men, not just shallow, foolish people, men who are good samples with good fruit. And I'm sure it was good for them in that I did a lot of praying for them. And obviously she went and married Berg. So
right. Yeah. Like super good. Just
so
like
good. That worked out so great.
Just like one of the worst cult leaders in all of history. Okay. Yeah. Good plan. So great. So fruitful.
So fruitful. So all that to say, if you teens ever feel strongly attracted to adult whom you greatly admire, respect, or even have a crush on, you don't need to feel condemned about it. Except that they just fucking wrote a whole letter about how we should feel condemned about it. Such feelings are very normal and natural. Just be careful and prayerful not to openly manifest or display these feelings physically, and especially not sexually. Amen. God bless you. I love you.
Wow.
And scene. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a bunch of garbage verses on the end. That's pretty bad.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, this was harder for me to hear than even that the one that we read last time, the stumbling block one, because at least that one was validating. This just turns up the yeah, that was our fucking life. That was it. It's, you know this, but it's fairly to me too, because of just what I went through.
Yeah.
My family does not listen to this podcast, but my mom took on a second husband for a while, a second mate, as they called them. And this man abused me. He came into our world when I was 11. And I think the last time he had access to me was I was about 15. He eventually went about his own life, and eventually actually he left the cult when he met and married some woman. But she has continued. His wife has continued to contact me over the years. Now, of course, I've blocked her in every fucking possible way there is to block her. But she used to contact me and be like, I forgive you for seducing him. And I was like, fucking bitch, I was 12. I did not fucking seduce him. I wanted fucking nothing to do with him.
Seriously.
The leaders in the home that I was in when I was 12, they came to me and said that he had asked. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be vulgar. I don't care. He had asked to fuck me. And that if I agreed to do that, then I could watch the adult movie that night, which was Star Trek. I think it was like the Khan. What's that one? Yeah. I think it was that one. Anyway, it was an old Star Trek movie, and I wanted to see it. So I agreed and went and watched the movie, but before the movie ended, I knew it was coming close to being ended, and I snuck away and went and crawled back in my bed and pretended to be asleep when he came looking for me. He tried to pick me up and bring me to his room, but he finally just left me a note alone that night. But think about that. You go to your 12-year-old child and be like, hey, if you will have sex with this adult man, I will let you watch this movie that you want to watch. And then that man's wife went and has spent the last, I don't know. I haven't personally heard from her for several years now because I blocked her on everything, but she actually had access to somebody in my family that is no longer my family because of what happened. But she had access to somebody in my family and was still like, she made up all this shit that I was like sending. She said I was sending him naked pictures of myself. This is 4 or 5 years ago. Uh-huh. Yes. The man that abused me and raped me when I was 12 years old. Yeah, definitely. At fucking 45 years old, I'm sending him naked pictures of myself. That's definitely happening. And someone in my family, my sister, was like, confronted me and was like, so why are you doing that? And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Yeah, I don't speak to her anymore. But think about it. I'm like, I'm 45 years old. And this nightmare is still following me around. And I'm still getting blamed. Sorry. That was hard to read.
Sorry.
None of us ever wanted that. None of us. A few teen girls that when we were in Thailand, because we were like, we were the nuns and priests, and we were very strictly monitored at the time. And we had some teens that came in from other school, other big communes that they'd tried different experiments with. They gave them like very full sexual freedom, and they came in, and I remember that they were very flirty, and I was like, whoa,
yeah,
wow. Like they were like, they knew what they were doing. Like even I was like watching them, and I was like, oh wow, you know what you're doing. You know that you are using your body. You know that you're using your sexual. And I mean, they were like 15, 16 at the time, but never to an adult. That was to the other teen boys. Never right. to an adult. Never to an adult.
No.
Yeah, that was our life. That was the attitude.
Yeah.
That was the attitude of how we grew up. Those precious Christian men,
Jonathan. Right? Those precious Christian men.
Precious. Oh,
what the fuck?
Dude.
A precious Christian man wouldn't be fucking attracted to a goddamn 11-year-old. What the fuck are you thinking? Like, it's... Ugh.
That's so gross.
Seriously. Just the whole thought pattern is...
So messed up.
So wrong.
And this is why... In my personal life and in my personal journey of healing, why I draw a pretty, definitely not a narrow line, but I draw a chasm between those adults who joined the cult and then want to come around and be like, oh, but I'm a victim too. And oh, but I didn't know. No, you listen to this bitch like reading that, saying that kind of shit. You listen to that and was like, definitely, amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. I admit and acknowledge that there's such a thing as getting wrapped up, that I definitely understand that there's coercion and not brainwashing, because that's not scientifically accurate, but there's coercion and power control and all that kind of stuff that does fall into it. And there's that all comes into play. And I will always agree and acknowledge that people get themselves into situations that they can then go back and look back and say, wow, that was not okay. I've had those in my life plenty of times. But there's a big difference, and it's not a fine line, between getting yourself in over your head, getting under some sort of situation where you're obligated, you're stuck, you're desperate, whatever, all those things, and actually like listening to and reading something like that and being like, yes, this is the person that I want to lead me in my spiritual walk with God. This is the person that I'm going to follow. This is the person that I believe is led by God. This is the person that I believe is anointed by God. That's the fucking difference. But see, here's why we run into sometimes why none of them will fucking take accountability, is because that's what they were. Those are the things they read. That was the teachings in our cult. That was the teachings of, no, that's not you, 12-year-old. That's that 11-year-old. That's that 13-year-old who's like seducing you. How dare they?
Spreading the devil's seed.
How dare they?
Mm.
Yeah. I'm, yes. It's a lot of angst happening right now.
I like that word.
I do too. I like that word. It's tough to read shit like that because I don't go back. I don't read this shit. Like, I do not. I 100% believe in the healing journey of not being ashamed of your story, of putting voice to your story, owning it. And I don't believe in that. Let's pretend that past never happened. But at the same time, you don't necessarily need to go roll in the mud either to remember what it was like. And so for the most part, I don't go back to that. There's a Bible verse. What is it like about the dog returning to their vomit?
As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly.
There you go. Yeah. So I don't need to return to that vomit. I don't.
Fuck that. That shit can stay in the garbage can where it belongs.
It can. But you know what? At the same time, I think that there's an element to, as we go through our journey of healing, we're going to sometimes go back. You have to sometimes go back and touch the places that are still rough. That's how a healing journey is. You work through and you look at and you deal with and reparent the spaces that you can and the places that you can't. And once you're strong in those spaces, you can go back to the other places. And this is definitely one of those situations where it's okay. In all these years, I've not had any inkling, desire in any way, shape, or form to go back and read that kind of bullshit. But I also feel, as tough as it was to read that, especially because I have a pretty personal connection or personal experience, personal traumatic experience of that sort of, like, you were to blame for right. this mad old man raping you, like you were the one who did it. Because I wanted to watch Star Trek. But I do see the benefits in when you're ready for it, when you're able to go back to a place that is painful, that is difficult, and say, okay, that was wrong. And that was the reason, sorry, I'm losing my words, because it wasn't easy to hear that. It wasn't easy to read. I was angry and I was crying. I was all the things. But as tough as it is to go back and remember those things and hear those things and remind ourselves that was the environment that we grew up in, it brings those ugly things into the light. These things are not in the shadows anymore. And until you're able to start looking at these things, facing them, you're not going to be able to work through the shame of them. I struggle with shame so much. I struggle. It's hard. I'm lucky in the sense that I'm talking to you right now. Like, it's you and me. We're having a personal conversation because I can always tell you anything and I don't have to worry about it. But I'm also aware of the fact that, like, I'm telling some pretty horrific and personal stories that anybody listening to this is going to hear. And I'm not immune to that shame. I'm not immune to wondering, like, how people are going to look at me or how people are going to think about me. But it's important to take something like that and read that shit and be like, okay, this is why this has been living in my head. This is why I've been carrying shame about this, is because this is what we are told. We are told that this was our fault.
Yep.
And so being able to bring that sort of out into the light as an adult and as a mother now who's gone to hell and back for my children and fought for them. And
yeah.
And knowing what it means to be a parent, I had that chance to go back and say, okay, this is why I have this shame around that. This is why I hurt so bad. Or this is why I'm triggered. I know that word has lost a little bit of its potency, but that's what it is. It's triggering. If you're able to, you have to come to that place. I feel this in my life. I have to come to that place because anything that I'm like, no, that's too much. I'm not going to face it. If I continue to keep something like that on my back shelf,
yeah,
in some way, at some point, it's going to come back again.
Yep.
For example, like what happened to me in this training seminar that I was in, and I was like in front of a whole bunch of people, I had a goddamn fucking panic attack and I had to work through my shame for that. I was like, okay, so that's still there. Might need to look at that. We have to do that. I mean, that's part of the process of healing, of going, okay, I'm not ready to, or I'm not in a place. I haven't gotten to that avenue or that wherever that memory lives. I'm not there right now.
Not ready to open that door.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that you're not strong enough. It's just that you can only take so many things at once, right? Sometimes you just have to open that wound up again and say, okay, now it's time to heal. It's time to do some of that deep tissue massage and get to the root of it, I guess you could say.
Yeah. File that away.
Because as long as you're keep putting it back like on that shelf. Either I'll deal with that later or I'm not going to deal with that at all ever.
It's going to keep haunting you.
It lives with you. It does.
You got to file it away at some point.
Yeah. This is me completely talking to myself and being like, okay, you're going to be okay, Whisper. You're going
to
be okay.
You are going to be okay.
A lot of that has to do because I get to talk to you like every single day. But just also, I'm a lot safer. I feel a lot safer in the situation that I'm in right now than I have in many years.
Yeah.
And because I'm feeling safer and because I'm feeling stronger, I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Deal with this.
But I can open that back up and let and allow it to be raw and allow it, not saying, oh, I need to be okay with this. I'm not.
No.
Nope. Not okay with it. But I can allow it to be raw and still be safe. And I think that's the journey.
That's right. We are warriors.
Yes, good Lord. I definitely don't think, at least for me, put enough warnings in the beginning of this episode. Do not enter.
Are there enough warnings?
No, there really isn't. There was an element of almost a validation and lightness that came with the other one. I'm like, yeah, see, they did know and they lied to us. As painful as was, they did know and they lied to us. And that at least gives me the validation of, okay, I'm not crazy. Like I was being gaslit. I'm not crazy. Whereas this is a little bit more of that, oh, this is why I have so much trouble with self-esteem. Because this is the muck and the yuck that we had to grow up in and that we've had to spend every waking and sometimes sleeping hour of our lives sorting through and unlearning. When you've been born into something as destructive as a cult, especially something as destructive of the as the children of God, when you've been born into something that destructive and you're talking about indoctrination since you were a fucking baby, there's not really a space to just compartmentalize these things and say, okay, let's put it over there. Not if you really want to sort through those influences and those old messed up thought patterns and those messed up belief systems that have been ingrained in you. Reading shit like that, just being like, God, no fucking wonder I have such a horrific inner dialogue, like no fucking wonder. So I guess there's a validation in that, right? Of okay, so this isn't just my own mind making this shit up. This is disgusting people who did this to all of us. And people listening to this, especially if you were born into and raised in the children of God the way that we were, just please be so fucking proud of yourself and be so fucking proud of the progress and the places that you brought yourself into, because that's the shit that we grew up in, and that is fucked up. It is legit. We're supernatural heroes, like in being able to sort through that stuff and, you know, tell ourselves we're going to be here tomorrow. But it's also understandable why sometimes some of us can't. And I've been there, you've been there. We know this is not to promise us tomorrow. Just be proud for the days that we get through, the days that we wake up and make it through the day. And then give yourself grace and give yourself compassion for the days that you're not sure if you're going to make it through. And that's just because that's our history. That's where we came out of. And it's a lot to work through.
Very true.
I don't want anyone to feel listening to this to trigger them too much or feel too discouraged or whatever that might come. But you and I are here.
Yay.
If us disaster buckets can hold space for this, hopefully that gives other people the encouragement that they can too.